while I was preparing the message, and there's quite a few times that some things happen and I am led to preach something a little differently, or some illustration comes to mind, and I have always taken that and believe it is God's Spirit leading me. I had a message prepared for this morning, and as I was going through the Sunday school lesson, there were a lot of things that started to dawn on me. I knew them, but that Sunday school lesson I presented to you, I did not present it in the manner that I had intended. And the Lord led me in that Sunday school lesson. There's no question in my mind about it. There were some things that I knew, but I had never really stopped to contemplate on it. And as I was talking to you in that Sunday school lesson, believe it or not, I was contemplating those things I was asking you to contemplate. I've been preaching through the book of John in Sunday school. We started off a long, 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 long time ago. We started off in John 1:1. And we got all the way over into chapter 19. And it just so happens that it's worked out that we're in that particular part of John. We're headed toward the last chapter of John. But we're in the chapter that has to deal with Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion. And it just happens we got there this morning. So as I was going through it in the Sunday school lesson, there were some things that suddenly hit me with a great impact. And I hope they'll hit you with the same impact. Those of you that had to listen to it this morning in Sunday school may have to listen to the same thing again, at least partially. But you know the scripture says concerning Jesus in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul said, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." It means just what it said. Paul said, "In Jesus there dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that because the Scripture clearly states that. But there are other reasons. The Scripture also says, when Jesus spoke of himself, he said, "I and the Father are one." That's what he said. And he also told the Jews, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew what it meant. He said, "I'm God." And the scripture clearly states that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. As I was doing that Sunday school lesson, something pressed upon my heart and it just was overwhelming. It was God that took my beating. It was God that felt those stripes. Yes, Jesus was a man, and he had to become a man, a perfect man, in order to allow himself to be just in his own mind and justified in reconciling myself to him. Totally by his power and by his mercy and by his grace. So as I go through this, think about it. In this man was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For those of you that sat through this in Sunday school, I'll try not to elaborate as fully as I did this morning. John 18:39 to 19:22. Pontius Pilate saying to the Jews, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you at the Passover. I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" He said, "Let me release Jesus." Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. For those of you who might have seen the movie that was so popular last year, that showed a scourging that I think was very articulate and very accurate as to how badly Jesus was beaten. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Yes, the man felt the pain. Yes, the man felt the agony. Yes, he felt this unbearable pain in his own flesh. But God was in him, reconciling the world to himself. And in that man dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God felt that pain. And it was the pain his son was enduring, so that God might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. If there's ever any question in your mind that God is some far off distant figure that you want to blame for things, but that you can't really understand because you can't get in touch with him, he bore that. Put up with it when he made the universe and made man, and man was rejecting totally his own people that he had come to. And then he was beaten. He could have killed them all. All of them. And been just in doing so. But he loved me. I can't be sure, for in the 30 years I've been here, I've gotten to know him a little. I think he would have done it if I had been the only man on this earth. I think he would have took that beating for me. And it was God who felt the pain and the agony and the anguish and died for me. I'd be a fool, a spiritual fool, not to serve him and not to love him. But I could never love him until he first loved me, until he came to live in me. As I pointed out in Sunday school lesson, Pontius Pilate did everything he could to set him free. He was mocked. A robber, a thief was set free. I'll look you right in the face, every one of you. And I'll look at myself in the mirror. And I'll tell every one of you, you were born thieves. You were born natural sinners. You were born alienated from the kingdom of God. You were born with a sin of rebellion from Adam. And the thief got to go free. That's what Jesus did. He set all us thieves free and took our pain and our punishment that we deserved. There's never any question in my mind anymore as to how much he loves me. And it wasn't just a man. It was God who was a man and who became a man for the sole purpose of dying for all of us, so that he might have the opportunity to give us the ability and the choice to be reconciled to it. When the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, they put on him a purple robe, the sign of royalty. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands, beating. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Pilate did not want to kill him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. That was God. That was the Father. That was the Son. That was the Holy Spirit. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And God took that beating and that punishment and that ridicule and that rejection and that hatred and that spite. For no other reason than the fact that he loved you and did not want to see you perish. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto him, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. He said, I won't crucify him. You crucify him. And then the Jews began to put it to Pilate in such a way that Pilate had to consider something that we all have to consider. I'll look every one of you in the eye and in the face, and I'll look myself in a mirror, and I'll tell you point blank that most of what you do and have done, and I have done in my lifetime, has been for our own self-centered interest. Oh, we've done things for other people, but most of what we have done has been for our own personal self-centered interest. Why did God take all this? Jesus was the only man who ever lived, who did all that he did, not for his own self-centered interest, but for the interest of us all. I wish I had known this, what I'm telling you now, when I came here 30 years ago. I would have been able to bear the things that a minister has to bear a whole lot easier than I bore them. I would have been able to raise my children with a type of patience that I did not possess. But this man, the more you look at him, the more you realize what love is. He gave himself, expecting nothing in return. I may be wrong about this, and if I am, God forgive me. But I believe that if God had known that no one, not one man, would ever have received him and trusted him, I believe the Son would have done it, expecting nothing in return. Because it was pure love. No self-centered interest, nothing to promote his own welfare. Nothing but shame, rejection, beating, hatred, spite. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves me. I wish I'd known that when I came here 30 years ago. I was just a young man that God had called, who thought he knew a little bit when he knew nothing. I was just a man who was so tied up in himself that I was determined to preach to you and let God use me as his instrument. I finally know what I am. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm not needed. God's never needed me. And God never needed you either. But you need God. You need God because he's the only being who ever truly loved you with all his heart, and who has never done anything that wasn't in your best interest, even though you might not have considered it to be so. And they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, saying, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. The Jews completely and absolutely rejected him. That's why they've gone through so much suffering. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. See, his wife had had a dream. And in this dream, she was warned to tell her husband not to crucify this man. I don't know where the dream came from, which side of the fence. But she went, she told her husband. And this scared him.
So he went back into the judgment hall. He was afraid and went back again to the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "What's art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. As I pointed out this morning, I would have given him an answer. I said, "Yes, I am." I'd have found some way to placate him so I could have gotten free. I would have looked after my own self-centered interest. And inside you, in your heart, if you're saying, "Well, I wouldn't have," you're worse than I am. You're a liar. All of us would have. But this man who had no sin said nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" He said, "Talk to me and I'll let you go." Jesus answered, "Thou could have no power at all against me except it was given thee from above." Pilate didn't have the power to release him. It had already been settled. And it was God who decided to let himself be crucified as the Son in whom all his fullness dwelt. It was God who made the decision. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, living in the man, who decided that in order for him to be God, he has to be just in all that he does. And in order to be just, to justify himself, he had to pay the price for our sin, for our rebellion. And he paid it fully and completely on the cross at Calvary. That's love. That's taking a rebellious child who has rejected you, hated you, wanted nothing to do with you, and dying. There was nothing that Pilate could do. There was nothing anyone could do. For it was the plan and purpose of God that his only begotten Son, in whom he dwelt fully, would die for our sins, so that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. The Jews willfully delivered him. That's why you had the Holocaust. That's why more than 6 million were killed in the Nazi Holocaust. That's why they've been the most persecuted and prosecuted people on the surface of God's earth. That's why they've got to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. That's why the tribulation period is going to find 2/3 of them dying. It was a willful choice that they made. And has passed down on their children ever since. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Once Jesus said that to him, Pilate realized this was no ordinary man. And he sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, and here's where his self-centered interest came in. Pilate was the procurator of all of Israel. Pontius Pilate, directly under the Caesar. And they said to him, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar." They appealed to his self-centered interest. Pilate knew that if he let this man go against their will, after they had said this, they would tell Caesar, "This man claimed to be king, and Pontius Pilate wouldn't crucify him." Pontius Pilate would have been replaced, and he knew it. So he did what we would all have done. He looked to his own self-centered interest. God's interest on this earth is his church, because it is his Son's body. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It is the body of Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In whom ye are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. dawns on you, and you actually begin inside where Jesus lives with your soul, and that soul finally begins to understand, He loves me that much. He cared for me that much, and still does. Then it makes it easy to serve Him. Then coming to church isn't a burden. It's something you want to do. Because He loved the church. And if He loved it, you know how much He loves you. And you'll want to be a part of it. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him. These were his people that he had promised a Messiah. And he sent him a Messiah, a deliverer, a redeemer. And all those animal sacrifices and the lamb, he was that lamb. And they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? This is what has caused the Jews to be so severely persecuted. The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. And they rejected their king, King Moshiach, King Messiah. And we Gentiles look at them, say, how could they have done it? Most of the world today has rejected him. And with the passage of time, the percentage that have rejected him is constantly growing. And even those who have received him will not let him be their king. I bow before God, and I stand before man, and I tell you, He is my king. He is my king. And I want no other. And there is no other. And if you have a king that you love, and he tells you what to do by his directions and his word, the only way you can ever know in your own heart, if you do love him, if you try to do what he tells you to do, where he tells you to do it, and how he tells you to do it. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, the place of the skull, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Was Paul right? Did all the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily? Was Paul right? Was God in him reconciling the world to himself? Was Jesus right when he claimed to be God? Yes. And true, it was the man that paid the price for our sins in sinless flesh. But if you don't think God the Father felt those blows, felt the beating, felt the anguish, felt the sorrow of seeing his son suffer and bleed and die, I don't think you know what a father's love is. But here's the remarkable thing. He did it for a worthless piece of trash, just like me. And if God can love a worthless piece of trash, just like me, I see a lot of bumper stickers say, God didn't make no junk. That's right, God didn't make no junk, but it became junk. And only God can restore it what he meant for it to be. I owe that man everything.
I owe God everything. He owes me nothing. And yet he paid everything and emptied himself and died for me at Calvary. Oh, I wish I had known what I was telling you 30 years ago when I came here. It would have made life so much easier. I would have been able to put up with a whole lot more than I did. I would have been able to control my temper at times. I would have been able at times to not always look at my self-centered interest. Oh, I still look at my self-centered interest. I'll never love him like I should. But by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, I know one thing. He loves me, and he is my king. He loves you. And if he isn't your king, he wants to be. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, so that everybody could see it. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not, write not the King of the Jews. And I'll always admire Pontius Pilate for this. I admire him. But that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I've always wondered if Pilate believed what he wrote. I hope he did. But it doesn't matter. What he wrote was the truth. He asked Jesus, what is truth? And the truth was, the King of the Jews and of all men was standing before him. I think Pilate must have trembled. And I am at least thankful that he left it there. Well, that's what God did for us. That's what Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, did for us. Nobody knows when the Lord's coming. If I give you that impression, forgive me. I'm an analyst. I speculate. You know that I think he's coming soon. Don't you believe that? But one thing I do know, he is coming. Revelation 19, 14 through 21. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, the word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, and they will burn as a sword in the hearts of all those who have not received him, and forever in hell, forever in a lake of fire. It will be a burning sword in their own conscience and heart that this man loved them enough to die for them, and they would not receive him. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I'm still a sinner in the flesh and will be until I get changed at the rapture. But I'm looking forward to this with all my heart. He's my king. I want my king to come. If you don't want your king to come, you better start thinking about it, because I don't know anybody who knows how much he loves them that says that I hope he doesn't come for a long time. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know who's coming back with him? Those who know him as Savior. Those who understand that he loved them and died for them. Oh, I thank God I didn't have to understand everything I've been talking to you about here this morning to get saved. All I knew about Jesus was he was that shepherd in the picture in the Sunday school class that had a little sheep in his arm and a staff.
He was the one that the Sunday school teacher made us memorize the 23rd Psalm. Sunday school teacher probably thought we didn't pay much attention. We were just typical rowdy boys. But I didn't have any problem with believing he was the Son of God. I didn't know how much he suffered. I didn't understand all this I told you. I didn't know that God was in him reconciling the world to himself. I didn't know that he and the Father were one. I didn't know that in him dwelt all the fullness that God had bodily. I had no idea how much he loved me. But I knew he did, because the Holy Spirit convicted my heart that I wasn't right with God, that I wasn't right with him. And there was something wrong with me. And I did bad things. And I tried to do good things, and I got worse instead of better. From age 8 to 12, the harder I tried to do something right, the more I did wrong. Finally, I just came to him, acknowledging what I was, helpless like a child, and ask him to save me. And he did. You'll never understand the love of God until after you get saved. And you won't understand it very much after that if you don't study his word, if you don't become interested in what he has to say to you. It's a big book. And down deep inside, when you get past all of it, Old Testament, New Testament, I tell you what it is. It's a book about the love of God. I hope you know his love. If you don't know the love of God, you can understand this much. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you want a Savior, he wants to be your Savior, and he's the only one there is. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. If God's Holy Spirit has convicted you this morning that Jesus is the living Son of God, and that he did die for all your sins on the cross, and you recognize that he alone can save you, do you believe he's alive? Then you can pray and ask him to save you, and he'll save you, because all the things he went through were so that you could come to this point, this moment in your life, where you could ask him and he could apply his blood and his sacrifice and his life to your soul. I hope you'll ask him in these next few moments. Heavenly Father, forgive me, Lord, for taking so long to understand just a part of your love. Forgive me, Lord, for the many things in life that I've been so foolish and so ignorant. Lord, I pray, if there is someone here this morning who's asked Jesus to save, that they'll come forward not ashamed, but thankful that now he is their king. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As the song leader and Kay come, as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's word, and as best I know how, I told you about Jesus, and I can't ever fully describe the love of God, but I've told you a little of it this morning, and I'm telling you that love is directed at your heart. It is the love of God that leadeth us to repentance. If you want to turn your life around this morning and let Jesus be the king of it, you come this morning. And leave all the work that's necessary spiritually to the Lord. What number?
400.